So let me introduce you guys to Steve. Steve is a longtime friend of mine, fellow speaker at the 21 convention. And I think we saw each other last back in Austin, maybe like a little over a year ago. Steve knows a whole shitload about dating, women, sex, how to be a man. Basically, you know, he's an expert on all these subjects. And he's also an expert on stripper shit. So I thought it'd be fun to have him come on, talk about, you know, his experience with strippers, gaming strippers, meeting strippers, everything above. I have a little bit of experience with strippers. I dated a stripper for a while, which wasn't necessarily a good thing, but it was fun, to say the least. So I'm not really qualified to talk too much about them, so... Steve is, so that's why we got him, and all questions are fair game, so if you guys have questions, ask him on the call, or just post him in the group, and I'll ask him for you. So, Steve, you want to give a little background, a little intro?
Yeah, sure. Well, first off, you know, all the stuff that Robbie said is true, believe it or not, which is that's my name. I'm Steve Maeda, and... you know, I've been doing this thing for a while. Robbie and I met at conventions, and I think the first time at conventions and then just teaching in this industry, you get crossover clientele. And so you hear good things about each other and all that sort of stuff, and then meet up. It's so weird because I don't think, like, people who are in this industry realize that we don't talk with each other much. So when we see each other at conventions or do calls like this, we actually... It's usually our first time talking in a little while. When it comes down to it, here's one of the things that I would like to share with you guys when it comes down to, like, strippers and that sort of stuff, is that, like, it's not what you think it is, but at the same time, it can be a pretty interesting and amazing experience. So, for instance, number one, a lot of the times, like, when people come into the industry, they're going to have three main fantasies, all right? Their main thing is that they want to get a lot of SNLs, they want to have multiple long-term relationships, and they want to have threesomes or foursomes or whatever the fuck it is, right? And then another one of those things is always going to come around, like strippers or hired guns, waitresses, bartenders, promo models, real models, all that sort of stuff. And in reality, it's all kind of the same setup, right? Now, the reality of all that is it's not what you think it is. So I'm so kind of like out of it. I don't really remember, but when I meet people who are new and they start working with strippers, or whatever it is, with like models or yada, yada, yada. Or when I see somebody speak and the kind of guru is talking about how they only date models, I think to myself, like, how fucking unpleasant that can be if you're not living that lifestyle. Like, for instance, if you're a dude that doesn't like to stay up till, you know, 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. every night, and you're a dude that doesn't like to hang out in strip clubs and possibly deal with, like, a lot of drama from chicks, you're always going to deal with some drama, then maybe it might not be the best area for you to look at. If your motive is that you think you're going to have, like, some really badass sex and you're going to have, like, some awesome adventure and somehow you're going to become like go through a passage of a rite of man through banging a bunch of strippers. Well, you know, maybe if you hook up with a few, it's a cool story, but there's a difference between a story that makes a man and an actual sex act that makes a man, or a sexual life that makes a man. Like, a story is fucking badass shit. You know, we went out, we late through whatever the fuck it is. We fucking went on this adventure and did a bunch of crazy shit, and now it's a part of us. That's a story, right? But an actual sex life is much different. And I think we confuse the two with the entire pickup industry and the entire, like, how to be a man or entire, like, how to be happy fucking bullshit scam of an industry that it is. And when that happens, we learn how to sell and consume like desperate men, and strippers are a big hang up for that. And let me just say, there's like a few people in this industry that you can really talk to about strippers. I'd say one being myself, I'd say another being Eric Hypnotica. He's a pretty badass dude to be involved in it. And that all being said, you can have like a pretty awesome experience with them. But man, if you don't like it, don't try and be somebody that you're not. Don't try and live a lifestyle that you're not. And if you're only going for the expectation that you think it's going to like give you some sort of like ultimate sex life, well, you're looking in the wrong place with your entire sex life then. And as the call goes on, surely I will make that point and have it make more sense if it doesn't make sense right now. So that all being said, go ahead.
No, that's great. I think it's very important that guys realize that. My quick experience with a stripper, she was a former stripper when we started dating. Actually, she's now a dating coach, which I got her into. But when we started dating, she had been a stripper. She wasn't a stripper while we were dating, but we continued kind of hooking up after when she went back to stripping. And, you know, most of the ones that I've met have had some sort of crazy issue. You know, a lot of them are just stripping to pay bills, so-and-so. And she was certainly crazy and not like marriage or wife material. Obviously, the odds of finding like marriage or wife material in a strip club is very, 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 very slim, but hey, we're not going to say zero, right? So I guess one of the things that I think is a great kind of tool that I've told these guys to do times before is if they want to practice conversation skills, a strip club is a great place to go because you have hot girls who are going to come up and approach you and they're going to try to game you for dances. And basically, if you practice talking to them and connecting with them, you know, it puts you in a situation where you get easy practice and target practice and reps. So that's one of the things I'd advocate. But what has your experience been for a guy who, I guess a guy who wants to date a stripper or wants to fuck a bunch of strippers or wants to maximize his time at a strip club, what's some advice that you have?
Well, okay, so there's a couple things here. Number one, like if you want to date strippers and you're just going like, Steve is just saying a bunch of bullshit, tell me what I want to hear, then go do it. Go fucking do it and go be successful at it. And once you're successful at it, you're going to know if you want it or not. But don't think that you need to know more information and blah, blah, blah. Like, go and do it. Go and fucking hang out in strip clubs. Get comfortable. Make friends with a lot of people. It's really easy. If you were to just say that, like, stripper game, like, I want to bang a bunch of strippers, I want to fuck a bunch of chicks that are strippers, that is the easiest game pot. That is easier than going up to chicks in a club. That is, it's in waitresses, bartenders, promo girls, models, supermodels, all that sort of stuff. It's fucking easier. And here is why. Why?
Really? So your experience is it's easier to fuck those chicks than normal chicks you'd meet in a club? Because I haven't had that experience. But then again, when it comes to those girls, I'm no expert. So.
It's just, well, what, you know, in like, let's not sensationalize the idea of expert because guys have been fucking strippers for a long time. In fact, my friend, she's on this call. Her name's Chris. She, I'll introduce her in just 1 second, but she's a dancer and we've done a bunch of videos together. She's worked with me a lot. We've actually taught stripper workshops together all over Texas. Man, it's fucking crazy. We went to like 20 strip clubs in 1 week with this group of guys. And, but here's the thing is like every single dancer I know knows like 3 to 5, maybe more than that. Depends on how big the club is of guys that go to that club and fuck all the chicks, right? Or who've had sex with a lot of the chicks. And then here's one of the distinctions. I can even tell you in one of the clubs in Austin, there's, and Chris may know about this too, even though she lives in Louisiana, but we have a pretty big network of people that we know. But there's people that have friends with a bunch of crazy ass strippers in strip clubs. And then there's people who have like real friendships with people. And yeah, they might have like some stripper problems, some stripper issues. And don't get me wrong, man, there's a lot of drama involved around in that area. But man, this may sound kind of weird. And if you guys have questions about this, I can kind of clarify it. But I remember I went through this flurry where I dated a bunch of chicks on Match, and like it was like 12 girls at once I was kind of like talking to at the same time and meeting and hooking up with. And I found that they were a lot crazier and out of touch with some stuff than dancers. And in the sense that dancers are always naked. Dancers are always have to be like rawly honest to do a hustle. And there's like, and Chris will tell you, there's like this balance of bullshit and honesty in a strip club that happens. But with the girls that I found on Match, they were all like established in their lives, but completely out of touch with who they were, like sexually, their self-image. It was like a lot of problems with how they connected and communicated with people. So it's like crazy there's a lot of craziness there, but there's a lot of craziness everywhere. It's just a different flavor that one might not be used to. Now, the one thing that I'd say that is most important about a strip club is this. Number one, get comfortable in a strip club. It's a fucking gentleman's club. It says on the ad, go there and relax and chill out. Now, all dancers will hate you saying that, but give me a second here. So it's a gentleman's club. It is there to serve you. All the TVs on the wall, all the girls that paid their house fees, all the fucking hot ass bartenders and whatever that are there to serve you. Same goes for a nightclub. Same goes for a bar. All those TVs, all the fucking decorations, all the loud music, all the DJs that they paid to entertain you for that night is so that you buy something from them. In fact, in the club, it's not so that you buy dancers from strippers. It's so that you buy booze. And yes, you buy dancers from strippers because then they have to tip out the club. But the club is there to make money. You're never going to beat the club. The number one thing is for any situation that goes club, that goes daytime, that goes park, that goes traveling, scuba adventure, all the way to a strip club, brothel, whorehouse, whatever you want to call it, is that you need to be a part of that club. If you're not a part of that club, then you're playing the wrong game, right? Or if you're thinking you're going to beat the club with social proof or some bullshit like that, you're playing the wrong game. You're going to meet the wrong people in that. You're going to be sold the most. So that being said, you get comfortable in the club. Number two is you got to learn how to initiate and engage. So if it's waitresses, if it's strippers, if it's people in a nightclub, again, if it's people at a fucking meetup group, you need to learn how to engage the people. So how do you engage a stripper? Well, a stripper comes up to you and wants to buy a dance. The number one thing I'd say to do is if you're a guy and not used to it, and this actually goes into Chris and I, we made some videos about this, but it's like number one thing, and of course, as you get more fluid with it, you can do whatever you want. There are no rules. The only rule is that you actually hang out with these people outside of the club. You know, whether you do that by paying money or fucking, I don't know, not paying money or whatever, it wins. But the one thing to do is if you're not used to it, is get some physical distance between the girls. If they sit on your lap, if they touch you, now I let that happen. I don't care. I'm so used to it. It's just normal for me. But a lot of times when a girl touches us, when a girl gets sexual with us, when she gets really close and holds eye contact with us, we can't think. And so then, you know, she does what she's supposed to do. She's there to fucking get dances. And remember, it's not a war between us and the girls. Like, war doesn't make connection. War doesn't make sex. War doesn't make a social life. So, like, we need to gain some physical distance. If they sit on their laps, they're like, hey, you know, like, can you sit here for a second? You know what, I hurt my leg, I worked out. They'll probably have a whole bunch of shit to say to, you know, come back with that. But at least try. And then the other thing, too, is tell them, like, let's say they're going to ask you a couple of questions. They're going to lead it, right? Because they're the ones I'm talking to you. They might say you're sexy. They might say you're hot. They might play with your hair. They might just say, do you want to dance? They might get you engaged in a deep conversation. There's all sorts of different conversations that you're going to have, but it all is going to revolve around them doing what they're supposed to be doing there, which is to make money and, you know, dance and do what they do, you know? And there's actually nothing wrong with that. Remember, if you think of it as a war, you're going to do some stupid shit. You're going to end up having your fucking wife that's a billionaire leave you to date some fucking single mom stripper, whatever. That's a true story. And that will be your reality because you don't fucking know how to communicate. You see it as a war. You see it as a competition. You see it as a game. You don't see it as like a human being talking to another human being. You see it as an emblem or a bragging point about sex or status. So number one, gain some physical distance. You know, if you can, if you're at the bar, get, like, don't get like all up on them, be able to lean back and kind of like add a few centimeters of space away. It's just, if you're not used to women touching you, it's going to trip your brain and you're not going to be able to think. So allow yourself some breathing room to think. Number two, say you're there to hang out, watch sports, hang out with your friends. You're not really sure how this goes, but you don't know about this whole dance thing. You could either play stupid about it. You could straight up say you don't want to dance. You can say that, you know, fuck, you're not used to strip clubs and you want to give it some time. But I would say at first, unless they're just straight up there to hustle, like straight up there to like say, do you want to dance or not? I would just get away from either saying like yes or no right away. And here's what you would say immediately after. The third thing is ask them a question about themselves. Okay. And so I kind of go through this phase of like hired gun stuff, which would be dancers, models, whatever the hell you want. Is that number one, you need to feel comfortable with the environment. So we already talked about that. Number two, you need to find out something personal about them, or at least be talking to the personal side of them right away. And this can help with all game. It's just the only thing with game in a nightclub or daytime is that you might need to have some like push-pull interaction before this, but within 30 seconds, you should be here at this point where you're seating for rapport. So if I'm sitting down in a chair, there's a stage there. First thing that happens, a girl comes up, she touches me on the back. She swings around to sit on my lap and I just say, hey, oh, cool. What's your name? Oh man, you know, my leg is really fucked up. I'm not trying to be a dick, but it hurts. Can you like, let's pull up this chair right over here. Number one thing I'm going to do, she might still want to sit on my lap. She might go, well, what about your other leg? What about whatever? Because she does want to get close. Remember, it's not a war. I'm just trying to buy some time so I can think clearly. If you can think clearly and you're used to women touching you and being in that sort of sexual mode, then speak that language. It's all good. The number two thing I'm going to say, me personally, is just be like, man, I'm like the worst person to be talking to here. You know, my friend works here and whatever, but what's your name? Where are you from? Okay. And so these two things aren't like bomb money lines. They're just lines which exemplify that I'm used to being at a club. I'm used to talking to dancers. I have dancer friends and I just want to know something about her, but it's not yet personal. So I need to then lead that to something where it affects her persona, her decision-making, how she feels as a woman, her sex life, those types of things. So once again, she comes down, she touches my back or touches my shoulder, touches my hair, sits in my lap. I say, oh man, my knee's messed up, seriously, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes the other leg, let's say, and then continues to touch me. I can't win at that part. And then I say, well, okay, man, you are like, I can already tell you're cool, but you talk to the totally wrong person because, man, I don't know what to do in a strip club. But whenever you girls touch me, I become retarded and fucking, you know, I don't know how to talk, but, you know, I don't know. So what's your story? Where are you from? What's your name? How long have you worked here? I'm not asking those questions because they're really important. I'm asking those questions because she can easily answer them and easily be engaged with me. And then from that, I can move to, let's say she answers, she's like, oh, well, this is my first day. That's always a great stripper line. This is my first day here. You'd be like, no, it isn't. You're lying. You're fucking pulling my leg with that. And then she might say, well, you know, my name's Candy, da, 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 da. And, you know, I'd say, cool, cool. So let me ask you this. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of girls that dance, or maybe if you don't know a lot of girls that dance, you could say, I don't know a lot of girls that dance, but you don't seem like the typical person here. Like, what do you do outside of this place? And immediately I'm going to start seeding for that stuff. Now, not so easily is she going to give me an answer. Sometimes she will, sometimes she won't. So I might need a little bit of banter in between. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? I agree with a lot of what you said, but I have to admit that the last thing you said, I kind of disagree with from my experience, because, and I'm just curious what you think about it, or maybe a different point of view. My experience is that everybody wants to save them, and everybody wants to be that guy saying, oh, what do you really like? You know, you don't seem like the other girls here. I would almost sometimes go the opposite way because, there's these guys have on their website, you know, don't be that guy.
I sometimes feel like that line is making you that guy.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, whatever works, works. I don't really care. I mean, my thing is that, that first off, I was just giving like a cookie cutter template of what I would say or what could be said. There's all sorts of different variables. But the main point is the structure, especially if you're just following out or following into this, of number one, gaining some physical distance. Number two, stating your purpose, which is not to buy dances and not be a customer. And you could be a customer. I mean, it doesn't fucking matter. I mean, I know guys that are very good with strippers who are buy dances all the time. But that just wasn't the way I learned, and I don't really like dances. And then the third thing is to go for something, go for rapport. But yeah, guys, see, here's the deal. Like, if you wanted to know my outside dynamic of my general perspective of what goes on with dancers and strip clubs and their general psychology is, man, I'd say that they like to save dudes more than like to be saved by guys. Like, this is what I see. I see them playing dudes who allow themselves to be played and, you know, go there basically for some fantasy sex life or whatever shit. And then there's some guys that might just enjoy going there for dances or whatever. But a lot of the times what I see with dancers is they're really loyal chicks and they will fucking take care of you. It's all my dancer friends are some of my closest friends. Like, for instance, Chris is on this call. How I came to Austin was I just slept on a couch for months. I slept on her and Milo's couch and just couch surfed between those two and Henry's as well. But, no, man, it was just like I saw them taking care of more people and even in the relationships with each other, dancers themselves and waitresses within that club and with their boyfriends when they had them. It was clearly more that there was like a sense of taking care of one another. Again, this idea that like there's a war. Yeah, if you're some fucking guy trying to play a game, you're going to get sniffed out. You're going to get played. You're going to get used. You're going to get taken for the long haul of dipshit, you know, fucking idiotness. If you are a dude that just enjoys hanging out there, you will open up a world where you'll have some very loyal people. I mean, another example of this is I remember I was out with, I forget their fucking name, Saffron and fucking Chris, you know him. I forget a goddamn dancer name. But anyway, I don't want to say it on this because you guys might find it on my Facebook, but you know, the one who doesn't know how to ride a bike. But anyway, so I remember I went out to eat with them after the club one night and I was like, wanted to be all badass and shit. Fucking go to pay with my card. My card gets declined. So I go out with all these dancers and I'm like, man, I'm going to pay for this shit. My card gets declined. You know, it was more than just them. You know, there were like five people there. And I just remember all the girls were like, no, totally, man. Like, fucking, we got it. We got it. And it was just after that point, as soon as I was in that circle of whatever they were in, man, there was no, like, playing of game. There was no, you're going to be that guy. There was just these, like, real loyal women who would fucking do anything for you at the drop of the hat. Now, when I see other guys go in and they really, like, get into pickup and they go into the club, they do this thing where they put a stack of dollar bills on the fucking table and bait girls in or buy drinks. I suppose like I should introduce Chris more now, but take yourself off mute and talk. Cause this was a situation that she had from like a, like master pickup artist in Austin who fucking, you know, she was with a client in the like VIP area and he went and bought them drinks to like poach their VIP-ness and she had to kick him out. And when you're playing that game, that value game, you're going to get played. I'm not playing a value game. I'm saying, look, I'm Steve. I talk about sex. I talk about life. I talk about emotion. You want to talk about that stuff? Talk to me. If not, go do your thing, and that's cool. But the one thing I know about women in general, about people in general, especially women and even especially strippers, is that there's a story that they have to tell. There's a break they want to take. They want somebody to relate with. They want somebody to hang out with. They want somebody to not judge them. And they want somebody to see them as a woman more than anything, you know. And if I can just do that, which can be established in a matter of a few minutes, then, man, I sink myself into a whole different world of people. Anyway, Pacheco, what you got?
Well, wait, real quick, before you jump on. So one more thing, another kind of question, a little bit similar to what Dan said. Now, I'm just curious from a dancer's point of view, or I guess from your point of view, since you've been on the other side for so many times, how often are you going to get that, you know, going to be that guy? How often are you going to get that sort of reaction if you get her away from what she's typically doing, which is she's there to make money, she's there to get dances? How often are you going to be looked at as that guy who just wants to have a conversation? Like, how annoying, I guess, is that to a dancer? Do they find that annoying? Do they find that awesome and cool? Is, I guess, the best way I could ask that question.
Are you guys asking me that question?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi. First of all, hello. I'm Criselda.
Hey, like. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no, this is fun. So you're asking me if it's annoying to get to work and then there's that guy again over there in the corner or something. Is that what you mean, more or less?
Yeah, the guy who's there that doesn't want any dances, doesn't want to, but he just wants to meet you. He wants to get to know you. Does that at all become annoying?
I mean, you know what? Yes and no, it can be. It depends on a lot of variables. It really does. I mean, it depends if the guy, you know, has a... I mean, first of all, all women in general, really, for the most part, have pretty good instinct. And then especially when you're working in an environment that deals with sex, a lot of the themes of sex right in your face, you create another level of instinct on top of the instinct you already have. And so you really pick up really quickly as a female about people very instantly in a situation where sex is involved because everything's on the table, kind of, you know, and you get really good at that. And so if the person who is always going in there and wanting to talk with the girls, I mean, if the way that he talks with the girls and the subject matter he brings up, I mean, if it's lame, and what I say by lame is I don't necessarily mean interest, you know, I might not be interested in learning how to build a house, but I'd be interested in talking about the moon or something, right, for instance. But if when I say lame, I mean more like you can pick up on the fact that he's trying to play you or he thinks he's more clever than you or maybe he's got a little bit of condescending tones to his voice. You know, that's annoying. But if he's the guy that's always in there, he's just really cool and you feel that you feel a level of sincerity coming from him, but he's not playing a script in his mind and he's not like I give the example of the fat kid hiding behind the telephone pole where he thinks he's so clever, but it's so obvious that he's not, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, whatever. Then that's annoying. But if he's cool and he's sincere and, you know, he seems comfortable in his own skin, not cocky, that's different. But when he seems comfortable in his own skin, he's willing to engage in a conversation and willing to learn something different and also doesn't seem like a know-it-all, then that right there is what I tell Steve several years ago is like a lighthouse in the darkness. Because the truth is somebody like that in the strip club, especially on a busy evening like a Friday or Saturday, they become like a little lighthouse for me and for a lot of girls. Because it's like a little reprieve from the circus that we are in the middle of. And we are like, you know, everybody wants something. They want something. They want something. They want something. Even if they don't know what they want you to give it to them. And it doesn't matter. I mean, sometimes it's sex. Sometimes it's not even sex. It's just attention. And sometimes it's, you know, they want you to be the scapegoat. Like, oh, here, take all my shit from me in front of my friends so I can look like a badass. You see what I'm saying? Like, there are all these different expectations that we have to hold for people in that environment constantly that people don't think about. And that's the psychological assault, so to speak, that goes on there all night with us. It's exhausting, okay? And so whenever somebody shows up like that, who's sincerely present, and somebody who actually can engage in a conversation without, you know, without having to who work too hard for it, they're just kind of there going with the flow, then that right there is a safe place for me, and it's a little lighthouse. It's a reprieve. So that is not annoying. It depends on those variables, you know, to answer your question.
Okay,
I hope I answered
thanks.
Your question.
Yeah, that's perfectly answered it.
One thing I'd say to that is, like, in general, if women are hit on badly, it pisses them off. If women are hit on well, it makes them happy. I mean, it's kind of like a clear line, and that's the
sure.
fine art you've got to figure out. Same thing with a dancer. It's like, you're going to waste her time, or are you going to make her time better? And that whole concept of them working all the time when they're there, they're not, you know, it's impossible. How much at your job can you just go 100%? So a lot of the times there's little spurts. Well, they go in and, you know, try and round up a couple dances, and they take it easy. They go in the back, they hang out on the floor, they get a drink, whatever. And that is the time you need to be interacting with. That's the time where you've got to be present. And it's pretty easy to be that guy in any club, that you're the dude that's chill, you know, that's not there for other stuff. It's just a really cool niche to be in, and you will naturally fall into it, you know, and this is kind of like being the regular dude strip club game, but or being a regular there or at any bar, you know, so you want to be the guy that the girl takes a break with, and that is key. You want to be the guy that women, it depends on what you want to talk to, but like the restaurants around Austin, whenever I go to them like once a month or whatever, but the whole time if I know the girl's there, I don't know everybody, but so I know the girl's there, it's like overwhelming. They'll just sit there and talk to me about their sex lives and about the guys they're dating or whatever shit, you know, yada, yada, yada. So it's you got to see it as like they're not always there to hustle, man. They're half wanting $20, $100, $200 from you. But half of them, the other half is also wanting like, man, I hope this guy is a cool guy that will hang out with me and connect with me.
Now, what if you don't want to be the regular, but you do want to go in there and meet a girl that night and take her home?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing is, like, as my friend Terrence says, in fact, Chris, I never released those videos, Chris, with you, me and Terrence, but Terrence still does calls with me and shit. But anyway, the thing is that he told me, he's like, man, fuck all this pickup stuff, not buying dances, whatever. The main thing is can you get them out of the club? And if you can get them out of the club, that works. If you get them out of the club, and really, no rules. Like, and I'm not necessarily saying to do things in all these ways, but some of them you can be creative with. So if you can get them out of the club by buying dances and dropping a bunch of money, cool. If you can get them out of the club with a bunch of booze, if you can get them out of the club with a bunch of blow, if you can get them out of the club with, you know, just pure skill, PUA, whatever, that works. But the main thing is that you have the ability to get them outside of the restaurant. All the time, or the, you know, venue, all the times that's happened to me, the first time it ever happened, and most of the times that it's happened, they usually go out and eat with them afterwards. So let's look at the reason why I bring this up is I want to bring up the situation first, because the situation beats technique always. For instance, like if I have a situation of being alone in a room with a girl, but no skills to escalate or close, sex may still happen, because she may initiate it, right? But if I have all the technique in the world that is about escalation and all this crazy fucking secret ninja shit or whatever, and I'm badass at it, but all of her friends are around watching, I'm not going to get laid. So we want to get the situations down. So one of them is after the club closes, they go and change. It takes them 20, 30 minutes or whatever, and then they meet me at wherever. Or I wait in the parking lot for them, or there's all sorts of weird shit that's happened. Like if I get ditched at the club, they give me the keys to their car and I hang out in it. So it's an odd sense of loyalty that if dancers trust you, man, they will fucking trust you like hardcore. The other thing is that I might be able to, the first time I went to Palazzo, Chris, I got laid. And that doesn't happen. So like same night lays or same day lays or whatever in a strip club do not happen. But I went there in the daytime. I met some chick and, you know, talked to her. She actually was talking with a friend of mine. And then I started talking to her and we had a lot of stuff in common about our life, and we got like deep rapport, headless, which is like the shit that I'm really good at. And then basically she's like, well, I want to hang out, let's meet up, like I get off in 2 hours or whatever. So then I left and then met up with her later and got her number. Now, what's going to make that? So those are the situations. I got to leave the fucking club with her, whether it's for food or to meet up after or to meet up afterwards. That's clearly to, you know, hook up in some way or go on some adventure. The thing is it has to be outside of the club. Now, how I do that in the club, and I'll tell you a few different variations, and Chris, you can chime in too, is that I get mad amounts of rapport. So I don't want to talk to them about like what's cool and what they're passionate about. I want to talk to them about how they live their lives and what really gives them meaning, not the tagline of what their passion is and how they want to open up a store or write a book or have a bakery, like what the meaning of their life really means, you know, who they are as a woman. When was the last time that their femininity was that someone had sex with that someone made love to it? What is attractive about them? What's the difference between what men want and how they see the worst side of men in these clubs? But what is the best side of men? And when was the last time that was experienced? When was the best side of a man brought out by them? And so I'll talk to them about this stuff, and I'll talk to them about it. I always do this when I take guys out in the field, like with whatever waitresses or dancers or whatever, because it's about 1 in 3 will talk to you. So about a third of them will have time to talk to you just out of just situation. They're not too busy, whatever. And I'll say, what do you want to know? I bet you I can get there in 3 cycles, which is like 3 conversations, a cycle is a term that I use. It's a technique that I teach, but, I'll say like in 3 cycles, I can get whatever you want to know. Like, what do you want to know? And they'll say, how many guys has she been with? I'm like, no, man. Like whether she fucking swallows cum, eats like fucking dick to be rubbed on her face, whether she like, tell me like what you really fucking want to know. Now, those are questions that are more for show off, but it would be the same process to get to, what really gives you meaning. When was the last time a man, you brought out the best side of a man and he brought out the best side of you? When did you feel like a woman? When did you define somebody? So either way, it would be the same kind of process and get there. If the girl's in front of me for 5 minutes and she's willing to be there, I'll get there in fucking 5-6 minutes, something like that. But that's how I would do it. I'd get a sane amount of rapport and then state intent towards that rapport. So the fact that you feel like a woman or don't feel like a woman in these ways, that is fucking hot and I want to talk to you. Now, also what's important about that is I had to learn the hard way that I needed to state intent towards what I really had intent towards. Otherwise, then I'm just having a sex life that ultimately sucks and isn't defined by me. And then I've taken one of the most powerful things in the world, sex and socializing, things that can truly change my life and other people's lives, and just bastardize them. Which I thought, like, again, I thought I had to be a bad dude in order to have a good sex life. But really what it had to be was I had to be the best expression of myself to have the best sex life, the most superlative sex life. Anyway, so that being said, there's some other ways of, like, Chris, in terms of girls that you've known that have gone home with guys or maybe a racy situation with yourself, how did it play out to where a guy just showed up and never before, it wasn't a regular?
So you're asking me how? Ask me the question.
Yeah, you know girls that have gone home with dudes. Like, how did the fucking thing play out?
Well, I mean, I've gone home. I'm a person. I mean, I'm here too. I mean, I've gone home, but you know me, Steve. I'm really aggressive. So I mean, I can't really. I'll tell you, it just depends. Okay, look, imagine. The strip club to me, I always tell people this, the strip club to me is a microcosmic snapshot of a lot of truths that are decentralized every day. So if you really want to know, every archetype is in there, you know, every kind of personality, every kind of walk of life, it's like a music store. And, you know, it really, really is not those people that go to strip clubs or who work at strip clubs. It's your neighbor, it's your mother, it's your sister, it's everybody. So you have to imagine, this is the whole world is in there. And So when you ask me a question like that, it depends on a lot of variables. It depends, is it the guy that comes in that's like hip hop? You know what I mean? If he's hip hop, I mean he's got a certain, there's like a certain demographic of girls that are in there that he might be able to take home more than somebody else. So you gotta remember that too, because that's also true. It's about culture. You know, I see it happen all the time, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the girls are going to go home and fuck them. They can go to a party. Sometimes these strange little, well, especially in Austin, they have these after work poker rooms, you know, that people would go to over there all the time. And the girls would hang out afterwards with guys while they play poker. This underground
situation.
Thing, right?
Key.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is key. Situation is key. In other words, I don't want to go. And here's the thing, I'm in New Orleans, so New Orleans is 24/7, so I just say after party is funny, because nothing ever, never ends. But in most places, too, it's like the after party. Well, if you want me to come to an after party, and I just met you, and you're with all these dudes, and then you're asking me, well, bring a friend, well, I mean, I'll tell you what, me, as individually, I probably won't go, because there's all these dudes. I just met this guy, and even though my instinct's telling me that he's pretty cool, I'm not going to do it. Just because I want to get to know him a little bit better. And I want him to make the effort more than me. Because I already don't trust people, because I feel like everybody wants to fuck me and everybody's out to get me. I mean, that's kind of a little bit of the paranoid mindset that not only regular women have on some level, but especially if you're working in the sex industry, you're already thinking, oh, great, everybody wants to fuck me, just pick a number. You know, it gets boring. So so I'd want him to work hard at getting to know me as a person, where I start to trust him, and then, sure, I'll go to some crazy after party, whatever. So, but if he's by himself, and you made a connection with this girl, and he's saying, hey, so, you know, I'm going to go have some coffee. I'm going to go to Cafe du Monde. I'm going to go do this, whatever. I mean, here's my number. If you feel like you want to join me, or just give me a call, and if not tonight, then, you know, I'll probably come back in here and hang out again at some point, and maybe we can go next time. See how cool that is? That's just cool. That's honest. There's no pressure. There's nothing. I don't feel like he's forcing something on me, and if I don't say yes, then I'm going to be a bitch. You know, he's just cool, and that makes me want to yield to him a little bit more, because it's like, yeah, you take it or leave it, but not being an asshole about it, you know, just being sincere. So if he's by himself and we made a connection, and then he says, you know what, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to give you my number, and I'm going to go do this afterward over here. It's going to be in a public place. You don't have to say that, but he's saying, no, I'm going to be over here. And if you're not too tired, because I know you're probably tired, then I would love for you to call me or just send me a text and join me. If not, then I'll be back here again and maybe next time. And I know that that's not guaranteeing anything, but you're not going to force somebody to do anything they don't want to do anyway, right? So, but still, that kind of thing works more than it doesn't, because it's truly giving the woman who already is kind of paranoid all the freedom to do whatever she wants when she wants. No pressure. And the irony of that kind of thing is, when he leaves, for the most part, the female is going to think, wow, that's, you know, he was cool. I don't feel like he's just trying to rape me or trying to, you know, play me or do something fucked up. You know what I mean? And I feel safe. He's by himself. You know, so there's a difference between coming in with a group of guys, all these dudes that, you know, it's different. So like you said, Steve, it's really very situational, and you might have to have a little bit of patience. I mean, if you're going to get some girl to go home with you that night, and you just met her and she's a stripper and blah, 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 and if she's all fucked up and drunk, I mean, do you really want that anyway? I mean, I don't know. That's the question I would have. Do you really want to take home the stripper who's all fucked up and drunk out of her mind and she can't pronounce her vowels, you know, to go home and fuck her so you can tell, oh, I fucked a stripper? I mean, you know. I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on your motivation, but that's my answer to all that.
And let me actually clear this up, because I know a lot of guys are going like, what? You know, to say what? So, you know, like, give her your number. Like, here's the deal, man. When it comes to pickup, I'm not giving my fucking number to, like, they're not going to call me back. I'm going to take their number. You know, I'm going to take initiative. But here's the perspective where this is coming from, and I think this might be useful for you in like all of your ventures. They're really useful. And this was something that Chris and I talked about a long time ago. And it was, I think it might be on one of the Men of Status videos, but could be wrong. But it was like, if you state intent, like boldly, like a man, like I want you. And this is what it's all about, man. Like, fuck all the technique that you guys want to learn. Fuck all the whatever shit. Like, if you can say, I am a man, I am a sexual man, I want you, you turn me on. And then give her a choice to respond to that, that alone will gain attraction. So if I say, you are hot, but man, it doesn't fucking matter unless you can actually talk to me back. Like, I can actually converse with you. So tell me about your life. That's not a direct opener and then going for rapport afterwards or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Like, start thinking about how you can be a man and put out your intent and your sexuality out there. And when we go back to the whole SNL strip club thing, what's happened, like, I mean, man, I go to a lot of strip clubs. I don't really try for it, but it's probably happened like 5 times or something. So that's not a lot. Now, I also don't do any drugs. I don't drink. Man, if that's something in your life, after I give you the idea that maybe you need some help, but if that's part of your life, man, dude, strip clubs are a rat's nest of like drug abuse in some way. And so there's very oftentimes like women who are, I mean, shit, dude, you know, like, my friend wanted to make a shirt a long time ago that said cocaine is my wingman because he lived in Vegas, and basically dudes that had blow or whatever would, you know, get all sorts of women. And what's so fucked up about that is that, yeah, okay, guys might do that, but what's so fucked up is how consistent that is with women in every demographic. And so, I mean, shit, it's a problem from both sides of it as well. Not just, you know, guys doing that, because it's not a bunch of guys. There's more girls screwing dudes for blow than there are dudes who are trying to use that to get laid. But man, you see a lot of that in strip clubs. You see a lot of that. I've never played that game because I've been clean the whole time I've had my whole strip club venture.
Now here's another question.
Go ahead.
What if you go to a strip club with a girl, the girl's down for threesomes, and you attempt to pull a stripper from the club? You know, how does that situation viewed by strippers, and how would you go about that?
Yeah, let me also say here that these are kind of questions that are of a fantasy life. The reality to bringing them to fruition, which is very much a doable thing, will not come from the standpoint of having a fantasy about sex. So for instance, the guy who taught me about strip clubs, this is fucking crazy. Chris, you met him. You remember my buddy Dave?
Dave, he was funny.
Dude, I mean, the guy looks like not a cool dude. He's older. He does not look like a cool dude, right? I mean, he's like just a guy, you know, he's the average Joe. His idea of a first date is this: meets a girl, not at a strip club, but he's very good with dancers. Meets a girl, takes her out to dinner, and says, "Hey, you want to know what? Let's go to a strip club. Let's just fucking hang out and do something crazy." Takes them to the strip club, gets them all into the strip club. Like, well, they're in the strip club together. I've been there with them. It's fucking crazy with a chick who it's their first fucking date, their first date. And he's like, he'll whisper in her ear some shit. And she'll be like, "Oh my God, what the fuck did you say?" Totally normal guy, but it was the polarizing difference because he was, again, like Chris said, it's like the strip club is where the general population goes, but a different side of them may come out. So he would allow this different side to be like, he'd say something like, "Look at that chick. What would you do? Just think. I want to see it in your face, what you would think of what you would want to do to her." And she'd be like, "Oh, God, I got to come here. Like, here's a $5 bill. I want you to take it and fucking rub it down her body." And he'd get the girl all invested in it. And then certain dancers that came around them to have fun, he would feel them out. But the girls that were attracted to kind of like having fun with another girl around, was actually a porn star at the strip club the other night that was doing a bunch of crazy shit with another chick. But anyway, so they then he would you know, engage one of the strippers or two of them with his girl, and then he'd get his girl to do stuff with them and just say, like, well, go in there and, like, rub, you know, your face all over and da-da-da, whatever the fuck it would be, right? You know, and he would get, like, sex acts to happen in the strip club, which is not necessarily something which is real easy to do. But here's what's interesting and different. He would, every once in a while, I mean, Dave worked a different game than me, too, take one of those dancers home with the girl on their first date, and they would fuck. That is fucking crazy. So first date, go in there, do, like, get the girl all worked up in the club. If they couldn't bring a stripper home, she'd fuck them. And sometimes they would get a girl to come home. And there was some alcohol involved, but he wasn't really somebody who was one to get drunk. And the girls that he dated weren't really girls that would get, like, wasted like that. Maybe the dancers, who knows? But here's the thing, is that none of that was a discussion about a threesome beforehand. And so one of the biggest problems that people have while setting up threesomes is that is all situation. There's no discussion. There's no framing you do. There's no, like, oh, but you would like to do this. You go hit on the girl. No, man, talk to two chicks, get them back in your hotel, close the fucking door. Get them back in your room, close the door. Escalate on one, get the other one to like watching, whatever it is. But that's how you would make the threesome work. And so bringing a girl to a strip club and then trying to convince her that she somehow likes, you know, sex and we should get one of these girls, it's not like sex is natural. When we stop making sex natural and we make it a game, we stop making it sex. It then becomes a voice of our insecurities and all that sort of stuff. And man, if you want to have threesomes, if you want to have gangbangs, if you want to start pimping chicks out, if you want to whatever the fuck it is, you need to learn how to speak the language of sex. You need to learn how to do that. And in that, you need to do what Dave did, was he spoke the language of sex with a girl, which it was like guaranteed that he fucked that chick. So it's a pretty badass first date. But on the like one out of five times he did that, a girl actually came home with him. It was because it naturally unfolded and he led and worked logistics. Okay. And so that's a little bit different. Now, another angle of it might be is that if you go to that club and you're a regular lot and you know a lot of girls and they have some, you know, sex deal with that, then you can make a threesome happen. Also, if you have a lot of money and let's say illegal substances that get people to do crazy shit, they'll do it too. But like I said, I never went that route with it, but you see it happen over and over in a strip club. You know, girls, it's fucking sad, man. You know, it's like if a dude's in there with a chick and they got a bunch of blow, and like all my friends at the club complain about this because, you know, clubs go with ebb and flows with their illegal activity and drug use and prostitution. And so it was a high point of prostitution and a high point of a lot of drugs. And so there are a lot of guys in there doing blow, doing ecstasy, doing all that sort of stuff. And the girls, there were a lot of girls prostituting in there. And so every girl got asked to prostitute. Well, the sad fact of the matter is when you have those substances in hand, that somebody is going to cave to it and start doing some crazy shit. So you'd also see that happening in a lot of different ways where people would kind of get that little fucking drug hack to make shit work. But that's how I would see it, is let the natural flow of sex happen, and man, it'll happen. I mean, it will. You just start making friends with some of these girls, you're gonna fucking hang out at their house, you're gonna spend the night at their house, you're gonna fucking party with them, you're gonna do whatever. But if you go for the party, it's gonna kind of like screw everything up, you know, if you try and force it too hard. But if you can, and let's take a few steps back, if you can just be in the club and in my mind get some rapport, but you might have another way of maybe buying dances or whatever to gain in some sort of contact with the women and learn how to state intent like a dude, like, I want you, you are hot as fuck for everything, not just your body, but how you think and how you act. Jesus, man, I want to see you. Like, what's a way that I can interact with you? Because it means nothing if I'm not interacting with you. And when you do that, it it gives a woman a path to walk on. And because seduction is a choice. Like, let's talk about it. Like, because sex is the only teacher. When we look at social dynamics to define sex, we'll never be able to define sex. But when we look at sex and start having sex, we can define social dynamics. For instance, if I'm escalating on a girl and she's, you know, resisting and saying, oh man, I'm uncomfortable. I don't know. You don't know me, whatever. And I pull my dick out, or I, you know, pull my dick out and I say, look, we can totally stop, but look, I just want you to say you like it. I just want you to say that you fucking like how hard my dick is for you. At that point, I've offered her a choice while showing my intent as a man, and she will fucking turn into a different human being. I mean, like, I could calculate that like clockwork. I could not calculate a nag or push-pull like clockwork, because sometimes it might not work. I might say, oh, where are you from? Oh, man, I can't talk to you anymore. Sometimes she might walk off. Sometimes she might react back. But man, I can tell you, if I'm looking up with a chick and she shows me some resistance and I learn to assert my sexuality like a man in whatever way, it doesn't mean I whip my dick out. It might be like, all right, we don't have to do shit, but you kiss me how you want to kiss me. You kiss me. I want to see your expression as a woman. And I give her that road to express back. Then I have a connection. Then I have sex happening. Then I have the phenomenon of seduction, which has been around since biological beings have existed and extremely powerful, working in my favor. Then I have millions, billions of years of evolution facilitating my sex life.
I like that whip your dick out thing you just mentioned. Definitely going to steal that at some point. That's great.
Man, that got me all hot. Oh my God, I can barely sit down now.
By the way, Chris, I finally showered. When Chris and I used to couch surf at her place, go into competitions of not showering. I think it was like 6 days.
I know, I used to play that game too, believe it or not. I know I'm a chick, but I was like, well, yeah, well, I'm not going to shower today either. How gross is that? And I worked, and I worked, man!
So what other questions do you guys have, and is there anything else that you guys want to touch on just from your standpoint as far as stripper game? I guess the one other question I had was, at any point would you feel bad or feel like you're jeopardizing her time from making money if you're sitting there, you're in the deep rapport, you're having a great interaction? You know, does that guilt ever come up, or does that feeling ever come up? And I guess you could just call it out, be like, hey, you know, obviously you're here to make money. I don't want to jeopardize it all the time.
I just say it. There's no guilt with communication. And so, you know, one of the things that I'd say to that is that I'll say, you know, technically, so in a technical standpoint, I will say, like, hey, look, you know, if you need to go make, I don't want to ruin your night. Like, I like you. Let's talk in a place where we can talk. I don't want to have that much rapport in a club just because I can't escalate on it. I want enough rapport to get me to meet her outside of that club. That makes sense. And so, and then also, you know, she's got to be responsible. You know, I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm clearly not there to fuck anybody over. Right. But she's got to be responsible, man. If she approached me and ends up having a conversation with me, I don't feel bad about it. Shit.
Right. Got it.
As far as did you want to ask me that question too? Is it for Steve?
No.
Yeah, I love it. Either. Yeah.
Okay, so as a dancer, it's again, you know, I really do appreciate sincere rapport in a place like that. And so, I mean, it's always going to be on my mind on some level that I should probably get up and try to make some money. It'll always be on my mind on some level. But if I'm genuinely getting something out of sitting there and having this exchange with this person, then I don't really, you know, it's kind of like I'm a big girl, like, right? You know, I'll figure it out when it's time to be like, okay, I really got to get up now. Then I will. But sometimes having that discussion at the beginning of my shift, it puts me in a really good mood. for the rest of the evening, which actually helps to make money. If I'm having a bad night and I'm in the middle of my shift, then that's when they really do become that lighthouse, right, that I mentioned earlier, and I get a chance to, like a little island, to just chill out and rest with, and then get back up and keep going. And if it's at the end of the night, then I feel like almost if your goal is to try to pick up somebody there, and at the end of the night, if you develop that rapport with her, and depending on her level of sobriety, and I just feel like I have to say that because that has to be a variable in this, then you have more of a chance to maybe take her home or get laid or something at that point, because she's not thinking, oh, I got to make money and got to make money, because it's already the end of the night and her mind is getting set on getting out of the club, you know what I mean, and moving on. And so the thing about thinking about getting a girl to go home with you, it really also depends on what time of the night and the shift that you sort of, you know, throw that in there, if that makes any sense. If it's at the beginning, if you know you're going to be there all night, you're going to be there for the long haul and you know it, then to develop a rapport at the beginning would be great. And then that she'll know that she has you to come to, like a little island in the middle of her shift when she's all pissed off about something and doesn't want to deal with anything, so she wants to sit down with you for a minute. And then if you're still there at the end of her shift and, you know, you guys are still developing that rapport, I mean, then that's really great. Now, that really, really does create a safe place for her. Which is, to be honest, that's, you can't underestimate that when it comes to the women who work in that environment. You can't underestimate the level of how safe they need to feel, not just physically and that you're not going to rape them, but emotionally, that you're not, you know, trying to shame them or judge them either. So when I say safe, I mean safe in all these ways. So I don't know if that's a little trick right there, just to throw out there that if you're there from the beginning, in the middle, in the end, the long haul, and in every three parts, the beginning, in the middle, and the end, then you really increase your chances of you know, getting her to have sex with you. I don't know about that night. Yeah, maybe that night, but for sure at some point.